Welcome to another edition of the Bear Down Chicago podcast with your hosts, Ryan Dangle.
That's a tie? What are we, true, in Europe?
Soccer? We can, ties happen in the NFL, man.
They're called draws, right? Yeah, dude, why? Why are we doing? No, absolutely not. All right, well, you got to keep your own record now because I don't have a tie column. I got a win-loss column.
Patrick Sheldon.
I say that because the flashlight emanating and beaming from the steaming pile of was today's game is David Montgomery. He is the flashlight in my pile of poop.
Brendan Chagrou.
So our buddy Brendan, who writes for USA Today, I have always screwed up his last name. Brendan. Brendan.
And Jack Wright.
Sorry, Captain Flo's over there.
I'm not Captain.
So you're not excited, Jack. You're not excited about having Sarah Spain.
Yeah,
on
wow.
Show, which
just, maybe no, I'm from Helen. Is that what we found out?
Featuring Cam Ellis.
Once I was like trying to get a happy answer out of him, and I was like, "Hey, man, like, do you take out of these situations? Like, what is it like to know that like you're this beloved that like these videos are going viral?" And he was just like, "I don't do it for that attention." And then they just took the next question, and I was just like, "Okay, like, I'm gonna melt into my seat and never come back here ever again."
And Logan Bradley.
Bears, rich history defensively, a lot of good linebackers. First round draft pick, hell of a player, a Bear that is going to go down in history. Nobody's going to forget. I am bringing back Shay McClellan.
The Bear Down Chicago podcast. Yeah, we're that Bears podcast.
All right, folks, welcome into another edition of the Bear Down Chicago podcast. Now, I'm your host, Ryan Dangle. If you want to find me on Twitter, it's at Ryan Dangle. That's D-E-N-G-E-L. I'm going to bring in Logan Bradley to the stage, the man, the myth, the mustache. If you want to find Logan on Twitter, it's at LBrad5. Logan, I can't see your face.
I might have to go close this. How about that?
How about we do that? Because, folks, you want to see that fantastic, beautiful mustache that he's going on. Wait a minute. It's still sunny there. Is that because, Logan, you are in, what is it, Los Angeles?
Los Angeles. Yes, that is where I'm at. And I'm not proud to say that I think I've been outside once today.
So are they all crying in Los Angeles? Because
I honestly don't know if anyone cares about the Rams or the Chargers, who also lost today, but I will be wearing some Bears stuff this week just in case I happen to run into the two Rams fans that are out here.
I want you to know that I'm proud of you.
I love you.
Let's bring to the stage the assistant editor of Bears Wire, Brendan Chagrou. If you want to find Brendan on Twitter, it's at Brendan Chagrou. That's S-U-G-R-U-E. Brendan, do you still have a voice? I know you were at Soldier Field today.
I was. I have made a, let's just say, an amendment in my contract to say that I only come on during Bears wins now. You know, no more losses. I will not be here. So that is why I'm here and why I wasn't around the last few weeks. But I still have a little bit of a voice. It's so hard not to be excited when just big plays happen. Logan, there were a ton of Rams fans actually at Soldier Field, believe it or not. I was kind of shocked.
I did notice that in the crowd. I was shocked by that. I guess good LA contingent in Chicago.
Leftovers from St. Louis?
Could be. Although I don't know why you would still keep supporting the team there. By the way, I just want to say just some of the, you know, weirdest random jerseys. I saw a Michael Sam jersey. Totally forgot about that.
Interesting.
Yeah, I know. So just, you know, you see so many things. But, man, it was such a fun game. There is no better feeling than watching your favorite team just drive up and down the field, make some big plays and high-fiving and hugging with random strangers. Like, honestly, that is one of like life's little big joys that you can do at sporting events. So I made some very lifelong friends that I will never see again just from the Bears' big plays.
That's all you want when you go to a sporting event for your team, is you just want a couple of instances where you can, again, slap some high fives with some strangers, give some strangers some hugs because your team's finally doing well. That's all you want.
Real quickly before we get into anything else, I just want to quickly shout out my Uncle Johnny, his friend Bill, his friend John, his friend as well, Scott Ivy follows me, is very excited to meet me. I was excited to meet him. And shout out to the CHGO guys, Joey, saw Greg Braggs, Jeff Burkus from Gridiron, Windy City Gridiron, Kevin Kadick. I saw a lot of people, both family and friends. I wanted to make sure I get them in there. And shout out to the other guy for season tickets, Jimmy Mack, going through a surgery. I wanted to make sure I give them shout outs because I was able to go to the game because of them. So anyway, it's a good day.
And a shout out to Jack, who's been hanging out in the back room for 5 minutes and 49 seconds. He's also a part of the pod. Dude, I tried like 3 times. It's just not working.
You
just,
I know. You truly don't really need you here, Jack.
Okay.
I'm just getting a love.
If you want to find Jack on Twitter, it's at Bear Down Jack. Jack, thank you. Thank you. You hugged babies this weekend.
I know.
Hugged my babies. Oh.
Yeah, Dangle's baby had a 1-year-old party. She coordinated it. She sent out all the invites. She's a pretty amazing 1-year-old. We threw a party for her. She'll never forget. I mean, she will never forget it.
She already forgot it.
Yeah,
it's already done. So to all of you who are with us, so Bruja, it wouldn't be a victory Sunday night if it wasn't for you. Bears, happy Bears victory post-game show. Bear down to you. Bear down to some guy named Dave, who also started off the show with a bear down. If you are one of our audio only listeners, come check us out on YouTube, hang out with us for a little bit, see what those voices look like. We can, you know, get your comments, make it a little bit live, make it a little bit more fun, enjoyable. Boys, I'm excited to talk Bears. This is a tale of two halves, very, very much so, which I feel like I say that a lot about the Bears. And so before we do that, though, there is some people we got to thank. So let's get to that first before anything else.
I just want to circle back real quick. I did have Logan in the witness protection plan program on my bingo card. I also had Brendan hugging rando bears at the game. I also had that. I had both on my bingo card. So me for the win. So you should get your haircut. Sheridan's Barbershop, located in historic downtown Wheaton, Illinois, has been serving the community since 1954. With 6 barbers, Sheridan's is open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday, and they have appointments available to book online by phone at your convenience. You can go to Sheridan'sBarbershop.com or you can call 630-668-0137 and book your haircut at Sheridan's. Or if you're closer to Naperville, live in that area, head on down to Hensel's, which is located in downtown Naperville, Illinois, since 1966. At that shop, they have 6 barbers. They're open Tuesday through Saturday. You can either walk in or you could book an appointment at henselsbarbershop.com. Whether you go to Sheridan's or whether you go to Hensel's, it's where traditional meets modern.
All right, so boys, lots to talk about. Let's do overall thoughts on the game. Brendan, I definitely want to start with you because you were there first and you were at the game. Sorry, so I want to start with you first and then we'll go around the horn. Just overall general thoughts, boys, on the game and what you saw. Let's go, Brendan. Blues is mid. Wow, that's new, Jack. I'm so proud of you.
That is. Yeah, we need to talk about that.
Like, we do need to talk about that. And then Logan and I will finish it up. Overall thoughts, boys.
So it was definitely a tale of two halves. You saw not much improvement from the offense, I would guess, early on. A lot of still short screens, a lot of runs that weren't necessarily going too far. Really, the best Bears offense in the first half was DPI. They just kept moving the ball because the receivers were getting grabbed and everything. So you don't apologize for that, but still not the way you want to move the ball, at least consistently. It really felt like something changed after that Montez Sweat strip sack. I mean, the defense was playing lights out. They should have had an interception with Jaquan Brisker. But once that fumble hit and they got that first touchdown, it was like the light clicked on for Shane Waldron and this team. Like, oh, yeah, That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to score touchdowns. And then you saw DeAndre Swift kind of get going a little bit more. Caleb Williams looked so much more comfortable in the pocket. And then they just kind of didn't stop. I thought they had three straight good drives in a row. The one near the end of the half led to a field goal. I thought that DJ Moore pass apparently it was a miscommunication. Moore said he broke it off early, but man, he was wide open. Caleb, the two just weren't on the same page, but you saw that growth continue in the second half. And that's just kind of been the mantra for this team. Like, they make those halftime adjustments and they're able to do more things more effectively in the second half. And I thought it was a nice mix of run and pass. I thought the play action was actually working to an extent. And just quick thoughts on Caleb Williams. He looks so much more comfortable. I mean, it looks like a different quarterback from week one to week four. Just with how he's operating, how he's going through his progressions. He's not rushing his throws, I feel like, as much as he used to be. Still kind of holding on a little bit when it comes to some sacks, but I thought he did a great job of protecting the football, learned from his mistakes last week, and you just continue to see growth. That's what it's about with this offense and Caleb Williams going forward. So we'll probably talk about the defense too, but that was my big takeaway. Thoughts, lots of improvements there.
Yeah, I think I was admittedly in the camp of folks that were really hopeful at the start of this season. So I was concerned, honestly. We weren't going into this game. I think I was ready to take a attitude almost like I had taken during the Nagy era a little bit, where I would just go in with, sexy indifference and watch the game and neither get up or, too down low. And in my mind's eye, I thought a loss today would have been, just another kick in the teeth with some areas of the football team that have been continually bad and prove themselves to be really bad, especially in the first half, some more. So out of that, definitely committing to the run game and actually getting some production in the run game and watching DeAndre Swift basically choose the role of being a star. I just feel like, we've had so few examples of that. And I think, to some extent, Swift he just had this attitude like, I'm a big time player who's going to make big time plays this particular Sunday. So as Brendan said pre-show, it's what we thought we were getting from the start and we haven't had it. So that was exciting. I was glad to see Swift really show out today.
I think the biggest takeaway for me is as that second half started to creep on and the Bears were able to build on that lead a little bit, I think they went up by about 8 points. And at that point, I tweeted out that, these are usually the types of games that we see the Floose Bears kind of crumble late in games and not be able to finish off games where you've played well at times and you've put yourself in a position to be able to win a game. So I think for me, the biggest takeaway is that you saw enough on both sides of the ball, both in, late in the third quarter and into the fourth quarter. Both sides of the ball kind of did their jobs. It was really nice to see Roschon Johnson get that third and one with about 2.5 minutes left in the game. Those are play calls that I think that I'm now scared almost going into those, because we've seen the choices that Waldron's made. But in that choice, it was good just to see, hey, put it in the gut of a running back, get 1+ yards and let's move on. Let's win this game and finish it out. So just generally speaking, I think there are a lot of good things, but for a team that obviously still has so much growing to do, it was really encouraging to see them get that lead against, again, a quarterback who is consistently making these fourth quarter comebacks in Matthew Stafford. I know he doesn't have his complete weapons set right now, but they did a very nice job of closing that game out. And I think it left a good taste in everybody's mouth.
Yeah, I would, Logan, I just want to kind of hit on what you just said. There were two times when Matthew Stafford had an opportunity to do what Matthew Stafford does and has done so particularly well with throughout his career, and he wasn't able to do it. Now, I will say this. That should have been either roughing the passer or something along those lines. I mean, that was a helmet to Matt Stafford's head. I was shocked that they did not call on that last play, the Brisker interception. I mean, full credit to Jaquan Brisker getting that interception. I thought that was incredible, but it was very clearly helmet to helmet. They got under his face. Like, I, I don't care, right? Jack and I were talking about before we hit record is so many times bad calls go against the Bears, and it actually went our way this time. And the thing is, the Bears made plays when plays were there to make. As it was already also said, too, is a tale of two halves. Shane Waldron has called truly 3.5 terrible games, putting his players in bad positions, not making the right calls. And then for some reason in the second half of this game, he started making decisions that you go, well, that makes sense. Why haven't you done this? You know, like, hey, Eric Kramer going to play a little fullback for us. Okay. All right, let's do it. Let's short yardage situation. Let's like actually run it up the gut with, as Logan said, with Roshan. Oh, okay. That makes sense. Let's do it. Not these just plays where you have 4 or 5 offensive linemen falling down and just being just bad. It just was bad. And so it was really nice to get the stink off just a little bit.
But to your point, I mean, like, I think you're right. I definitely think Shane Waldron has improved. He called better plays. But I also want to put it on the players for executing better, too. Like, we didn't 100%. See guys flailing around. You know, I know we were looking back. We didn't talk last week about the Colts game. But that speed run option that just got swallowed up, all the offensive linemen were on the ground anyway. So it was like, that's bad execution and bad play calling. So I truly think everybody in that building came together. There were some tough conversations. We know Mercedes Lewis had some tough talks. I know the report before the game said a lot of the team leaders told Shane Waldron to be more aggressive. And it just felt like this was actually like a team meeting and a team thing that actually came together and produced on the field instead of one of these hollow, shallow things that you hear about that never actually happened. So I think everybody deserves credit from DeAndre Swift to the offensive lineman to Shane Waldron. Like, it was truly a team effort to get this right.
Yeah, I don't think anyone is really going to dispute that. But I do wonder, and I've been thinking about this a lot, and Jack and I have been talking about this a lot off the podcast, is there a communication issue with the offensive line and Shane Waldron? Is there you know, something where guys think they're supposed to be doing this and they're really supposed to be doing that, you know, but just seemingly, again, not putting players in position to succeed. You know, again, I don't want to harp on it because the Bears got a dub, but I just, this, the Rams were depleted. Offensive line, they were depleted. Their weapons, they were depleted. And the Bears should have taken care of business. They should have been able to do that against Indianapolis Colts last week, but that was just dysfunction across the board, especially in the inability to run the football last week, which was really, really refreshing this week.
Yeah, DeAndre Swift after last week and just the way that kind of the national media or just media in general was kind of clowning him in a way. Like, he was kind of getting, just because you see what Saquon's doing for the Eagles now this year. And yeah, people were talking about his contract, what the Bears paid him. And I would assume he came into this game pretty pissed off. And I hope that he can continue being pissed off, because having that literally opens up and just obviously makes life so much easier for Caleb Williams. So that was really nice to see today. And again, I'm sure if I was in his position coming to this week, he probably felt like he had something to prove. And he definitely did that.
He was averaging 2 yards a carry, something along those lines, right? Yeah. Sorry, Brennan. Go for it.
No, I was going to say, I mean, I'm pretty sure it was 1.8, like even worse than that. Mm-hmm. But do you remember a couple years ago in Hard Knocks, for Deuce Staley, the running backs coach, essentially said he was running soft and he wasn't, like, you know, going after contact, and he was kind of just playing soft and everything. And he really had a tough time with that. And so I think, Logan, you make a really good point where he probably heard a lot of the criticism. He saw what was going on, and he pretty much said, I'm going to run angry. I'm going to have these angry runs, and I'm going to, you know, create space and just bolt it. He was playing at a different speed than we had seen the last 3 weeks. So I think a fire was definitely lit inside him this week.
Boys, if it's okay with you, I'd like to get to our first true false. It kind of coincides with our good friend Bruja. For whatever reason, once Jenkins left the game, they started running up the middle and started running it successfully with Swift. you know, I can't really dispute that, but I do. It's, and this kind of works out perfectly. So our first true false. The Bears should not re-sign Tevin Jenkins this offseason. For this one, let's go Brendan, Jack, Logan, and I will finish it up.
Ah, that's tough. I think it depends on what the market's going to pay him, because Gar's got paid this past free agency, and I don't think there's any doubt that that's going to keep going up. He's probably got a higher number than the Bears are willing to pay. I mean, he was pretty quickly – he was downgraded from questionable to out as soon as he left because of his ribs. So you do have the injury issue once again. I'm not going to say that they definitely played better because Tevin Jenkins was out of the game. I do think Matt Pryor is a little bit better of a – you know, maybe he knows the system a little bit more. A little better communicator, but I can't, man, this is tough. Right now, just because I think the price is going to be a lot higher, and I think there are very good interior offensive linemen coming into the draft, I'm going to say no, but I'm going to say true. They should not re-sign him, but I'm nervous saying that. I don't know.
I understand your consternation. That's a tough one. I think my heart is saying true and my mind is saying that it should be false. So my answer is false. I mean, there's clearly questions about his ability to stay healthy. I think his run blocking is in the elite level. His pass blocking, maybe not quite as good. But if your greatest ability is availability, then that's a problem with him. However, we've seen some guys walk lately that have done real well. I'm a little tired of the Bears factor when it comes to especially old lineman positions lately.
Yeah, James Daniels.
Yeah, Lucas Patrick is grading out well. So that maybe goes to a deeper separate question we could talk about later, but like this like fundamental issue of what appears to be an inability or a lack of ability to, every player has a ceiling. I'll just say this. I don't think the Bears often help players reach that ceiling. And I think that's a commonality that's been going on for quite a long time in Chicago. And so that's unfortunate. So, you know, again, I guess back to the original question, false, because you've got to keep a guy like that on your roster. I think we've found that it's difficult to find capable offensive linemen. So probably pricey, but I don't think you let him walk.
Yeah, I would lean false as well, just in terms of keeping that continuity along the line. Again, it is frustrating when you see guys not to be able to stay healthy, and they are as talented as Tevin is. But I think when you're looking at the problems that the Bears have had with the line this year, and I think we saw a little bit less of it today, but I think a big piece of that is just continuity of guys on that line. Like I've always said, I'm not going to act like I know a ton about O-line play, but it has to help when you're able to bring guys back if they've shown enough. And I think that Tevin has. But I do think the big issue probably will be the asking price. I could see, like Brendan said, that being a little bit too high. But for continuity's sake, I would definitely like to see him back with the Bears.
Can the Bears have too many offensive linemen? And I think we've already talked about it, that Ryan Poles is really good at a lot of things. Offensive line, like scouting, that's not one of them. And so you have a guy that can play. I mean, I think they need to stack it up, and then eventually maybe you find who are your best seven or eight offensive linemen. And then if Tevin is in that crew, you send him on his way. I don't know. Is there a way to re-sign him with a team-friendly contract that has some injury portion to it? Hey, if you play this many snaps, you get a bonus. And if not, so sorry. Thank you so much. We appreciate your time. I mean, I don't know. And I honestly don't know if that's something that can work. But I just – the line has just been just terrible. Absolutely terrible. And I just don't know that you can let an offensive lineman go. Am I way off base here, boys?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I don't think at this point in his career, he would take a deal like that for, you know, like a bonus structured deal, because this is his first contract. But I understand your line of thinking. The other thing the Bears could do, I don't think they would, but they could franchise tag him. That's a high number because it's just fully offensive line. So that includes tackles, which are paid higher than guards. But you get that 1 year risk, and that's not going to happen. So it just, it feels like for what Tevin Jenkins is going to want, and also knowing sort of how this regime has treated him fairly or unfairly, I kind of feel like this is probably going to be it, where this is going to be his final season, unfortunately. But you are armed with 2 second-round picks. You have a first-round pick. And like I said, there's some really good interior linemen coming out. They also have Ryan Bates under contract for at least one more year. He's going to be coming back from IR in the next probably couple week or two. So there's going to be options, but you're right. Like, they have to do something. They have to make a big splash to actually fortify that line instead of just bargain shop.
Boys, I got 2 more true false for you before we head out to the outhouse and the penthouse. Jack, I'm really anxious to hear your thoughts on this as someone who has coached quarterbacks. Yes, we know you coached high school quarterbacks, but you still have coached quarterbacks. This is something, you know, you're getting a little nitpicky. I was very happy with Caleb Williams today. Didn't turn the ball over. Nice touchdown pass. But we're still seeing the overthrows. And so I am genuinely very, very curious about this. Is this something that is highly concerning to you? Is this something that he can't figure out? Because we have seen this in all 4 games, him overshooting receivers by several yards. And so I'm kind of curious what you guys think about this one. For this one, if it's okay, boys, I would like to go Jack, Logan, Brendan, and then I will finish it up. So, Jack, what are you thinking about this one?
Well, I'm going to say false, and maybe it's because of semantics, which is a pain in the ass, I know, but I'm not highly concerned. I mean, I would say there is some concern. You can't, you know, who's not going to say that when he continually seems to overthrow them or out of bounds with no potential of them being caught, it doesn't give you a little bit of Mitch post-traumatic syndrome. I'm not saying that the two are comparable really in any other way, but it was also always a thing with Mitch where he just wasn't giving his receivers an opportunity to catch balls, often, almost always, it seemed, on deep routes. So I don't like that very much. But I guess the reason I'm not highly concerned is because the kid's played 4 games, and I just see so much improvement in him every single game. I would imagine, if I had to speak to a genesis of those overthrows, I would say it's likely a fear of being picked, which I think as he develops more confidence, he's going to gain more trust in his receivers and himself and put those balls in a place that will be jump ballable and just let his athletes make great catches. Or we talked about it, Ryan, or maybe I talked about it with my son, I don't remember, but Rome and those guys start playing defense. Like, they need to protect Caleb when he makes an underthrow or a poor throw. And that's all that's going to come with time.
Yeah, I'd say false. I think that they're more annoying than anything just because he was billed as this uber, accurate prospect coming out. But like Jack said, I just think in general, you have to be patient with this type of stuff because he's a rookie quarterback. God, it's just every time now I see, seeing the things that Sam Darnold is doing in the league in the year 2024, it just, every time I see him doing something well on a Sunday, I'm like, man, I just feel like it takes so long to become like this good quarterback. And some guys are able to do it quicker than others. But I just think that he should be given the time to be able to gel with this set of skill position players who, it's a very talented group, but now you've already, had Keenan Allen out for a few games. There's been some inconsistency with, guys being there. He's still learning how to get on the same page with Rome, which we saw flashes of that last week. Still obviously learning the relationship with DJ Moore. So I think you have a really, really talented group of players and some of the overthrows and the misses have been very, very annoying, but I do feel like most of those misses, some of the times, yeah, it's just, he just misses guys. But I also think that he's just not on the same page with each one of these guys all the time right now. And I think that's why you're seeing a lot of those inaccurate passes, but let's hope it gets better over time. But again, there was so much panic this past week about Caleb. And I understand there's just going to be, because that's the world we live in, but patience. And I think those are going to be corrected once he gets more games under his belt with this offense.
Jack, I love that you mentioned Trubisky because I tweeted that last week. I'm like, some of these overthrows kind of remind me of Mitchell Trubisky, and people did not like that. And that was really like one of the biggest criticisms I've had of Caleb Williams over the last 2 weeks. Like, and it's not anything that is alarming. So I'm going to say false. But I will put a caveat Bruja putting it away from the defense, at least that's kind of my caveat. We know Eberflus and Getsy coached Fields to kind of like that 200 rule where you want to throw for 200 yards and not commit any turnovers, kind of potentially out coaching the aggressiveness out of the quarterback. We don't want to see that happen with Caleb Williams, who was one of the most aggressive players in college with how he was able to throw his deep balls and get guys open. We haven't seen too much of that this year. We saw it last week against the Colts. There were a couple intermediate throws this week that we saw that hopefully we'll get to. So I just hope that's not going to be a thing where the coaching staff is like, hey, don't put the ball in harm's way. And just if you got to overthrow it. But you also do want to give your receiver a chance to make the catch. Now, I love that he's not underthrowing guys. And like you said, Logan, making them play defense or anything like that. And there were a few throws today where I know he was rolling out. I think he was looking for Rome on the sideline. He was triple covered. He just threw it out of bounds. There was not going to be a play that was made there. So he's playing smart ball. So from a fundamental standpoint and his actual passing, I'm not concerned about it. I just hope the coaches are still letting him and wanting him to be aggressive and not out, you know, coaching that out of him to make sure that turnovers don't happen.
Yeah, I think we all knew that the rookie quarterback was going to throw mind-numbing interceptions at certain points. And there's been a couple of really bad plays, him holding the ball too long. But I think the thing that I keep coming back to is he is just a little bit better every single game. Just a little bit better. And it's only 4 weeks in. You know, there hasn't been a play that I've just gone, oh my God, yet. But the touchdown passes have been really nice. And oh, by the way, remember, guys, he's thrown two touchdown passes that were dropped, like straight up in the receiver's hands that were dropped. And so, you know, I am not worried about Caleb Williams yet. I was a little bit worried that this offensive line was going to get him killed, but seemingly a lot better this week. Hopefully that's not just because the Rams are stinky, but maybe just because they're playing a little bit better. I'm Ron Burgundy.
Well, I don't think the offensive line issue is going to go away. I mean, again, no one needs to be a Debbie Downer after a W. I don't think that's the point here, but let's be real honest. Those line issues aren't going to go away. I'm not surprised because you, Ryan, and others were calling for offensive line help for a long, long time. And it hasn't come, as we all know. But I also I was like, okay, well, perhaps there's like maybe Chris Morgan can make some chicken salad here. But then I just thought, well, maybe there's just not the dudes in the room to do it, you know? And so then after last week, it certainly seemed like just weren't the dudes in the room to do it. And then several guys get injured. And so now it looks even worse, you know? So we can hope and let's all hope that the second half was some sort of a watershed moment in the Bears season. Because if it's not, let's face it, it's going to be a continued long season. You're right. I think Ryan, you said it. The Rams, I think, should have been a little bit of a more beatable opponent. They've hardly won in our time zone the last like six times they've come. I think they were like 1-5. You know, so none of us want to get rocked to sleep anymore. And I'm not sleeping on that O-line still, nor am I sleeping on Waldron's ability or inability at this point, seemingly, to be able to be a difference maker when it comes to scheme and play calling, when it comes to play design and, again, putting people in the right position. I just think, you know, those two things are the biggest Achilles heel right now, in my opinion, on this team, easily. Those are my only two concerns, honestly. And if those things continue to get better, okay. Like maybe we're cooking with gas. I'm a little skeptical.
You couldn't have queued this one up any better. Thank you so much. True or false, Shane Waldron is a worse offensive coordinator than Luke Getsy. I am so anxious to hear all of your thoughts on this one. Let's continue the same order because if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Let's go Brendan, Jack, Logan, and I will finish it up. What are we thinking here, Brendan?
false. He is not worse. He is essentially Luke. Man, if we could take Luke Getsy's first half play calling from last year and then Waldron's second half play calling, we're going to the Super Bowl, baby. Like, these two guys, like, that would be incredible because for how good Luke Getsy was with his scripted plays the last 2 years, Waldron sucks. Like, the first few drives have just been garbage. But then he makes adjustments, and he's able to actually see what the defense is giving, and guys get better. And it's just been night and day for the other half. So, I don't know. I feel like they're the same, except just they both – Getsy's weaknesses are Waldron's strengths and vice versa. So if we can morph them and make Shake Waltzky, that would be awesome. But I feel like they're not any I guess he's not better or worse. I feel like he's the same. And also it's four games. We had two full seasons of Luke Getsy, and I think a lot of people thought he was getting a head coaching job halfway through 2022. Look what happened. So I'm not ready to say better or worse yet.
I feel like Shake Waltzy was a guy on a neighborhood list when I was growing up. You know, like, you
stay away from Shake.
Yeah, don't knock on his door. Just don't.
It's almost Halloween. Stay away.
Yeah. Ew. Okay, so I'm gonna slightly nuance your question. So Shane Waldron is a worse OC than Luke Getsy so far. True. I'm gonna say so far, true. I think they're both pretty bad. They both had an inability to recognize the talent that was in their rooms and then cater their plans to that talent. You know, you look at, you know, obviously Green Bay had a hard time of it today, but the previous 2 weeks, you lose your quarterback. You know, LaFleur's ability to be able to pivot almost on a dime and still, like, have the offense run in a pretty smooth and effective way. It just really highlights the ways in which both Getsy and Shane Waldron have been unable to do that. You know, as long as they're wearing a Bears cap, they've been unable to do that. I think that whole fourth down series last week, we didn't chat last time about Indianapolis. Like, to me, that was how many offensive coordinators have we seen who get inside the 10 or the 5 and either get ridiculously cute or ridiculously scared or both? And we see the same bullshit time and time again from the 10 in and the 5 in. And when that went down, I just thought, this is not an innovator. This is not somebody who can scheme in a way. I know, like, LaFleur and McVay, like, they're pinnacles of this game. I understand that. I'm not asking for that. But I'm also asking, like, for something that looks to be a little bit more prepared, nuanced, and orchestrated effectively. Like, more than if I, like, walked down to the junior high and watched the game today. And it's kind of been that bad when it comes to, like, okay, it looks very clearly like the Rams are going to blitz on third down every time today. And was there an adjustment of any kind? So I want to stop because I'll keep going. But I'm just weary of that shit that we have seen time and time again offensively. And especially now that it relates to having a new fresh quarterback who you want to see succeed, for crying out loud, this time. I was just, like, very downtrodden that it seemed as though this situation was once again put in the hands of people that were not capable at a high level of making this offense sing in a way like we thought it might. So far, he's worse. True.
So, Logan, before you hop in there, I just want to highlight this, comment by Matt. It is amazing how they've been unable to find a good offensive coordinator. You think we would have stumbled onto a couple by how many we've had by pure volume at some point?
Yeah. I mean, you wonder what it is at a certain point, like I would love to know what the process is that they go through for finding a coordinator. But for this one, I don't know. I do think the sample size is small for right now. But he does have a similar just dumb face on the sidelines as Getsy had for whatever reason, whatever they show him. He just looks like he looks like an idiot. But I think we quickly forget about, like, just remember the screens that Luke Getsy would run over and over and over again. Like it got hilarious because it's like Luke Getsy knows football more than me, no shit. But like, how are you doing the same thing over and over and over again? So I think the biggest thing with Getsy was just his absolute like inability to stop doing something where the sample size is large enough that it doesn't work. And I think that you could probably say the same thing for Shane Waldron a little bit through four games, but I think I want to wait and see if he continues doing dumb shit like he did last week on fourth and one. And if he does that again, then we'll have the same screen thing. He'll be worse. But it sucks to have to even debate this question, because one day it'd be good to have someone with a brain calling plays.
I hate to say it. It's at this point, it's true. Like, you're right. Brendan, to your point, it is exceptionally well made. We had two full years of Getsy, and we only have four games of Waldron. But thus far, Waldron is not good. We talked, so there were 10 offensive drives. He had, I said two, and Brendan corrected me with three. That's a 30 freaking percent. That's abysmal. He has called bad games, put people in bad positions. I don't know if it's a communication issue on offensive line, but he does not look good. We knew this was going to take some time. We knew there were going to be some growing pains, but you at least thought there will be flashes. And despite some DeAndre Swift magic today, there hasn't been a lot of magic. And so at this point, he is worse. But I'm hopeful somehow, some way that we can turn something around out of this. Boys, unless there's anything else about this particular issue, I think it is time to get out to the outhouse and the penthouse. Boys, anything else before we head out that way?
Not for me.
The outhouse and the penthouse.
The outhouse and the penthouse is brought to you by our guy, Jeff Cadwallader. Now, attention, Chicagoland investors and business owners. Do you need a commercial real estate expert? Look no further than Jeff Cadwallader at SVN Landmark Commercial Real Estate in Geneva. With generations of experience, Jeff specializes in office, retail, investment, and land properties. For all of your commercial real estate needs, trust, man, I'm having a hard time with this one. Trust Jeff Cadwallader. Why? Because he's our guy. Visit jeffcre.com or give him a call or a text at 630-254-4734. Now, if you do talk to Jeff Cadwallader, you got to let him know the guys, the Bear Down Chicago podcast, say hello. All right. It's a Bears dub. The Bears win. So we're going to head to the penthouse first. Brendan, if you don't pick this guy, I think I'm going to be a little upset with you. If you don't pick the most obvious one, I think all of us are going to be a little upset with you. And so I think now that I've said that, you're going to pick someone else just to piss me off. I get that because we've been friends for a long time now, and I get the sense that that's what you're going to do.
Dude, I wasn't even – like, I know who – there's probably two obvious guys here. But just because I've got a ton of great stats on it, I'm taking the QB. I'm taking Caleb Williams. I mean, everybody can get there's plenty of room in the penthouse, guys. In fact, we can do two rounds. I don't care. Caleb Williams had a good game today, guys. He did not have a turnover. I think I'm not looking at this, but I believe he was 17 of 23, threw a touchdown to get 157 yards. He had 106.6 QB rating. So I put out a tweet earlier. And it's kind of going bonkers right now. But week one, let's go back to week one. His quarterback rating, 55.7. Week two, 51. Blech. Week three, 80.8. And now week four, 106.6. That is called progress. That's called growth. He looks like, I said it before, he looks like a completely different quarterback. He's so much more comfortable in the pocket. And there's also this. So I'm pulling this from Kevin Fishbane. Bears QB Caleb Williams in the second half via True Media Sports, 9 of 10 passing for 86 yards, missed one completion, 135.6 passer rating, EPA per attempt 0.66, EPA versus the blitz 0.42, and then Clay Harbor tweets out that Caleb Williams completed just 44% of his passes versus the blitz the first 3 weeks of the season. Today he was 8 of 9 for 75 yards and a touchdown. He's progressing fast. those are awesome numbers. I mean, you know, we can look across the, you know, different neighborhoods and everything and see what other quarterbacks are doing, but seeing how Caleb is progressing in this offense, both in this offense and as a professional quarterback, has to make Bears fans feel really, really good, because maybe all growth is not linear, but he is clearly taking steps over the last 4 weeks, and I'm very excited about it. His throw to Cole Kmet, guys, sitting in the end zone watching him thread the needle right over Troy Reader was phenomenal. Like, that's the throw. Ryan, you talked about magic. That's the throw that got me super excited. The DJ Moore touchdown was awesome too, because there was literally no window. He was thrown in a phone booth and he was able to complete that with his number one wide receiver. But I'm seeing some great things from 18, and I'm very excited for what he's going to be able to do for the rest of the season.
And the stranger that was sitting next to Brendan was like, dude, why are you hugging me right now again? Like, you just keep hugging me. And
he was a Rams fan. So yeah, he much was like that.
He's like, quit hugging me. So this guy's in a soft leather chair. He's eating his Cheerios with champagne. He's got 12 total tackles, 8 solo tackles, 1 sack, 2 TFLs, a pass deflection, and a quarterback hit. Honestly, guys, I can't think. Like, there's been some lines. TJ Edwards, I remember, had 18 tackles earlier this year, but there's seldom a line that looks that good. So Jaquan Brisker is in my penthouse.
The Thunder from Down Under. Torrey Taylor, holy hell. You don't often think of a punter as being appointment viewing, and you don't want to see a punter out on the field, but holy shit, the things that Torrey Taylor did today with his leg were dirty. He had 277 total yards of punts and downed 3 inside of the 20. Just the true definition of an actual literal special teams weapon. And that feels like, you know, you've got a decent Bears team where you have one special teams player, whether it's like the kicker, the punter, the kick returner, where they're just elite. And that guy is going to be undoubtedly elite, because his punts just look different. And he was able to flip the field completely in ways that honestly made a huge difference today, where we needed, you know, okay, we're punting the ball away, we're going to need the defense to make a stop because they're going to be probably on the 30. They ended up on like the 10-yard line when usually they'd be on the 30, and that's just 20 yards. It's such a huge difference. So seeing him getting fired up too after those punts is great. Like, I love when guys show energy like that. So it's been really fun to watch him, and I'd say that draft pick is paying off nicely at this point.
He's so good. He's so good. It was almost going to make me miss the guy that should have been number one or number two. Jaquan Brisker, 1A, and DeAndre Swift, 1B. Holy shit, guys. Right? Let's 165 total yards. So he had 93 rush yards plus a tutty. He also had 7 receptions for 72 yards. That's incredible. And especially because how god-awful terrible he has been in the first couple games, just absolutely abysmal. He shined. He had a phenomenal game. I think I posted something along the lines of, you know, we all owe him an apology or hear this talking smack. Let's just say the tweet did really, really well. And so if we can see this DeAndre Swift for the rest of the season, you know, dude, if dude has 60 to 70 yards rushing and, you know, 60 to 70 yards receiving every single game, I don't care what 1,000-yard mark or whatever, all that stuff, that's an effective player. And it was fun to freaking watch. Brendan, I am sure that stadium went absolutely nuts, and the TV just didn't do it justice when he busted out for that big run for a tutty.
Dude, it was awesome, man. Just nothing better. You guys know, we all know there's nothing better than Soldier Field when a big play breaks out and, you know, everybody's going nuts. He was everybody. Torrey Taylor, DeAndre Swift, Jaquan Brisker, all three very deserving. I just wanted to give props to QB1.
as you should. Boys, you know, we don't want to be Debbie Downers, but there were some things that weren't so fantastic. So let's go right back out to the outhouse. For this one, let's go reverse order just to make things a little bit more interesting. So we're going to go Logan, Jack, Brendan, and I will finish it up. Outhouse, boys.
So mine is a little bit different because it's a guy who did score today, DJ Moore. And, you know, it's something that just was, has been bothering me, I think, a few games into this season. And it's just like, and I hate to be the guy that's like the body language guy, because a lot of people did that with Jay. And I, you know, it was, you're beating your head against a wall, but DJ Moore, just for having like a rookie quarterback, where I feel like, and again, I don't know, behind closed doors, DJ Moore probably lifts up Caleb Williams, I'm sure. But it's just, there are a lot of really bad visuals of DJ Moore. And I saw on Twitter, someone, you know, put up and said that, you know, every time he comes to the bench, he goes and sits by himself. And it's just like, you know, he just got paid. I don't want to be the guy that's the like body language guy, but it's like, I would love to see a little bit more fire out of DJ Moore, and a little bit just, you know, like he likes his teammates, because you just kind of don't know. So again, some of this could just be bad visuals. But I just, his body language is really just getting old at times. And I think it causes people to stir things up, you know, in the media. People say, oh, is DJ Moore wants Justin Fields back because of this comment he made last year when he said that his quarterback was good. But it's just been irking me a little bit. And DJ Moore is an extremely talented player, and he's that number one weapon that we need on this offense. And I think he's going to be great. But again, when you've got a rookie quarterback who, you know, we want to build this guy up from day one and make him feel, you know, the confidence to be able to go out there and do good things. And I just feel like at times it's a strange energy coming from DJ Moore. So I hope that, it's not what it looks like, but that's just concerning for me.
I would agree. It's surprising from him to, just based on everything we've seen of him in the media, and on Hard Knocks. Yeah, I'm just going to put that first half offense in the doghouse. And I don't even know as if you could overstate how bad it was. I mean, Komet having a couple of penalties like during the game, as a, for instance, they had, I think overall they had 10 penalties for 84 yards. That wasn't all on the offense, but there was just a level of sloppy, inefficient offense. Like it seemed like, you know, every other play was either a penalty, or they're getting stuffed at the line, or they were trying to run a screen to probably the personnel that you wouldn't have selected to have run a screen to, you know, and, or they just weren't, or then the next play, maybe they're just not executing. Maybe it wasn't a bad call in that situation, but they weren't able to execute. Then it was a third down. And like I said earlier, the defense, Rams defense was pinning its ears back, and there just seemed to be no adjustment when it came to like there being some sort of a you know, hot route or a release route or changing something. And so, yeah, I mean, it was terrible offense, and it probably was exacerbated by the fact that we watched a lot of terrible offense, you know, so far this year. But I was like, wait, they're worse? Like their offense is worse. They're making more mistakes. And that was barf. It was hard to watch.
Yeah, it's understandable. You know what? I was going back and forth on this, and I'm not going to name any names just in case Ryan picks them, so I don't want to spoil it. I'll just say the penalties, like you touched on, Jack, a little bit. There was some very sloppy penalties, unfortunately. Some illegal formations. There was one, like you mentioned with Komet, just jumping a little bit to make a 3rd and 2, 3rd and 7, and that was brutal. Because I did like the look that they had, too. Roshan, likely with a short yardage carry to get a first down, and then they had to switch. The opening kickoff, how do you have a penalty on the opening kickoff? I mean, come on. Like, that's first grade stuff. The unnecessary roughness, which I thought was a little ticky-tacky from Jaquan Brisker with the receiver going out of bounds. There were just a few things. Like, you're at home. You can't have double-digit penalties. I understand the road could create some false starts and everything like that, but 10 penalties at home is so unacceptable. It's crazy to me that a team that was very disciplined under Eberflus 2 years ago, the penalties just keep getting higher and higher, especially when we're talking about the pre-snap penalties. I know part of that is learning the offense more, but false starts, illegal formations, stuff on kickoffs, like all of that, that cannot happen. So I would just say penalties and discipline from this team are in the outhouse.
It was fun to watch a couple hits that the Bears had on the Rams. Was it Jalen Johnson made the initial tackle and then Jaquan Brisker just lit a dude up? Do you guys know the one I'm talking about?
Yep.
Total reason to celebrate. As opposed to my guy, Austin Booker. Yeah. I'm trying to wrap my head around this. Dude catches a pass. Austin Booker has a big shot on him. And I mean, it was a big hit. Mm-hmm. He'd just given up a first down. And he's sitting there and he's flexing his arms like, yeah, what's up? Bro, I don't care how big the hit is, right? You just gave up a first down. And for someone who had two tackles for an entire game, like I don't understand that, man. I don't get it. Like, I want you to be hyped up. I want you to be excited about the game, but situational awareness, situational football, you need to know what's going on. You just gave up a first down. You didn't tackle him before the first down marker. And we're not talking like it was close to the line or something. It was like 4 or 5 yards after the first down marker, and he's flexing on it. Bro, it's you can't do that. We can't be doing that. Yes, it's awesome you got a big hit, but make that big hit before the first down marker. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, that was a tough visual. The one thing is that I will say, and as someone who's never played football, hitting a guy like that must just be like your initial reaction. Like you're just this like ball of, oh my God, he crushed him. Initially coming off that hit, you have to just be so jacked up that you're not thinking about anything. You're just like, I annihilated this guy. Cause it seemed like he almost like realized what he was doing after a second. But yeah, it was definitely a bad visual, but like, can you imagine hitting a guy that hard? That'd be awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. And so just, you know, just for we got a comment out here. So for David Kirkpatrick, wait, didn't the Bears win? No, we were imperfect. We made strides today, didn't we? Yes. Just so you know, we were just finishing up our outhouse and penthouse. So we went through and we talked about all the really, really good things that the Bears did. And we also talked about some of the things that didn't go so well. So it's a little bit of both with that. Boys, man, this is a fun episode, and it's so nice having Logan. Man, it hasn't been months since I've seen you, Logan, so woo. I love that.
Let's keep this going.
Please, shall we? All right, so boys, anything that we missed, anything at all that we missed, you know, I just, it's great to have a Bears dub. Definitely some improvements, but anything that we missed, Brennan?
Yeah, so I wanted to go into like the running back situation. Khalil Herbert didn't get a carry today, which I thought was very interesting, especially since Shane Waldron came out and said this is our goal line back, so to speak. I don't even know how many snaps he got. I thought I saw him on the field a few times, but the fact that they gave the goal line carry to Roshan, not that I hate it. I thought Roshan was perfect for that. It was a great play, like we mentioned with Doug Kramer in there. But not to give Khalil Herbert a single carry, I haven't seen that in a long time. Khalil Herbert's had a bad weekend, guys. First, the Virginia Tech fiasco with Miami, and then the this not getting any runs. I thought he was going to have an angry run. He didn't even get a chance. We talked a little bit about DJ Moore not getting, maybe having frustrations there. I just really think that they're trying to figure out a role for him. All he's been doing is just been catching short screen passes, and he does break tackles easily, but I just – they need to find a better use for him because he's a much better receiver than what he's being asked to do. Roman Dunze only had one catch. I was a little surprised. I figured he wouldn't have a game. Well, actually, no, I thought he would have a much better game because the Rams secondary is trash. And I thought that there was a great mismatch opportunity with him and Tre'Davious White. Tre'Davious White has been awful this year. He's given up so many touchdowns. I can't remember if he was in coverage for the DJ Moore one, but he got lit up by Marvin Harrison Jr. earlier in the year. So I thought Roman Dunze, with his size advantage, was going to have a much bigger day. He didn't. I quickly also want to shout out just some of the defenders. Montez Sweat, again, creating just havoc with the strip sack. Tremaine Edmonds has been awesome in pass defense. I don't have the updated numbers, but he was allowing an opposing passer rating of just 36 through three games. That's really freaking good. And I think his signing, it was a little under the radar, or it was, I guess, exposed last year because the defense wasn't playing well early on. But he's been phenomenal this year, and I think that signing has looked much better as the weeks have gone on, as he's established that chemistry with TJ Edwards. So I just want to shout him out for a great game. And then Jervon Dexter getting a sack as well. He continues to have a good breakout season to start the year. So just tons of guys on defenders, just tons of defenders doing well. Ryan, I wanted to call out something you mentioned in the chat. Like, why have receivers been getting open in the middle of the field for the Rams earlier in the game? They were playing just kind of like a zone coverage. Nothing was open on the sides. And I got to give credit to Stafford because he was fitting in some of those balls in tight windows. There were a few of them I couldn't believe that were completed. I still thought the defense played very, very well. It was that bend, don't break. But they did everything they could to take away the outsides. And I think it showed with how he was having to rely on checkdowns and you working linebackers in the middle of the field. So just a few things I saw. But overall, yeah, just phenomenal game overall.
Jack, what about you?
Yeah, just real quick, and this goes back, I think, to the Texans game. I've just been thinking a lot about it for some reason. I'm curious what you guys think, but I like TJ Edwards a lot. But what I don't like is the clip of TJ Edwards hip tackling Joe Mixon, and Joe Mixon's still out. I don't know. I mean, I don't think he's a dirty player. I don't think he's a bad player. I just kind of wished it hadn't happened. I mean, I think Joe Mixon's such a great player, and I think Edwards is too. He's all over the field, and I know – you know, as a linebacker, you're going to try to get someone down however you can. I've not seen Edwards do anything like that. I don't know. I'm just curious if you think it was like a poorly enforced rule. Have you not thought about it at all? Like, doesn't change your opinion of Edwards in any way?
Honestly, yeah. No, I hadn't thought about it. And so it was that it's like the drag back or like the drag underneath tackle. You know what?
The hip drop.
Thank you so much. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Man,
so he hit drop Mixon. They didn't call a penalty that day, but do you know what I mean? I think it's out for a good reason. I just kind of wish he hadn't done it, and I'm surprised a little bit.
Has he ever had?
You're just disappointed.
I am. I'm a dad. Right.
Yeah.
Mixon was mad. Mixon spoke out, said it should have been a penalty, and I mean he's missed ever since that game. So,
well, just to flip the thing, like one of the Texans punched Roshan Johnson on the sideline and got a smaller fine. Right. I don't think, to my knowledge, I'm really trying to think about this. Has TJ Edwards ever had another call where you thought, ooh,
never.
That was
never.
And do you know what I mean? Like there's a couple players we've had as Bears fans. You're like, ooh, that guy might be a little dirty. I don't think that with him.
Yeah. And then I guess Velus Jones being a healthy scratch is, I think, just a proof of what, I mean, we called it after Hard Knocks, right? Like they had a blind spot for him and now he's taking up a roster spot. And that's unfortunate because there could be somebody on the roster who is either a developmental player or somebody that could actually make an impact. So
Logan,
fourth round pick.
Jeez. Yeah, I'd say my big other takeaway from this game, it was mainly about a guy that Brendan mentioned briefly, but largely the defensive line as a whole, I think, did just a really, really nice job today of making Matthew Stafford uncomfortable. And then, again, that guy I was mentioning, Jervon Dexter. I think that the Bears defense feels right. Like I was talking about earlier, how we usually have that special team stalwart. I feel like Jervon Dexter has made huge strides. I think he has 3 sacks in 4 games. And it's the first time I've felt like we have that like presence up the middle since Akeem Hicks. I'm not necessarily saying he's like that at that level yet, but he's a problem on that line. I think he's getting better as a pass rusher, so I'm excited to just continue watching his development. And then I think having Montez Sweat on that line obviously just probably makes his life a whole lot easier too. So the defensive line in general, it's nice to see us adding some athletes in that position. I feel like that was a big hole over the last couple of years, and now I feel like it's more of a strength.
Yeah, I want to highlight this comment really quick. Brujas7, no flag in the last play for Stafford when he got hit helmet to helmet. I think that might have been one of the first things that I talked about on this podcast tonight. Is it just that really, really, really surprised me quite a bit. And so, but hey, you know, again, Bears always get bad calls, and I guess we were prevented against getting a bad call against us. So I'll just say that. Cole Kmet, you know, still not as present as I think we would like him to, but that one catch, that was pretty awesome. And it was nice to see him throw up the first down. I also, you know, I am someone, and I hope I will always be this person, is giving credit where credit is due. And so that means to both Matt Eberflus and Shane Waldron, second half, they looked way better. They could have lost this game very easily, and they didn't. They kept their team going. And so I got to give props to both of those guys where it is. Anything else, boys?
I don't think so.
All right. So for all of you that are hanging out with us, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. This is going to be a little bit different. Usually at this point of the episode, we give shout outs. Each of us individually gives shout outs to people we've interacted with, people that are hanging out in the show. And so we definitely are giving a shout out to all of you that are coming to hang out with us tonight. We appreciate you very much. But this is a team shout out, Bear Down Chicago podcast shout out to one person and only one person. That is our guy, Patrick Sheldon. There have been a lot of people impacted by the storms that are just hitting the East Coast, especially down in Florida. And Patrick Sheldon is in a bit of a rough spot with not having full power and some other stuff going on. And to be frank, boys, like he needs some positivity in his life. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if it's okay, boys, just give us one thing that you absolutely love about Shells, you know, and him being on this podcast, and being one of our friends. I will say this. Is when Shells is not around, sometimes he makes me angry because he's always so like passionately angry. Mm-hmm. But then I miss it. I miss it because I know that he stirs shit up so well on this podcast, and that, you know, he's coming from a place of real passion. And, you know, Shells, we for sure have missed you tonight, buddy. And we're just sending you all the good vibes in the world. And we love you very much. Boys, what do you want to say about Shells and how much we love him?
It's that sense of humor, man, right? Like he, especially when Logan and him are on, there's like these, Will Arnett level quick-witted jokes that are made that kind of come out of nowhere, catch me off guard.
Gels is the quick wit.
I just start like freaking laughing. And I think I'll give him the ultimate bouquet. We'll give him his flowers. I mean, I think he's probably been right longer about Flus than I gave him credit for.
Wow, that's big, Jack.
Yeah, that's big of me, isn't it?
That is big.
I wish he was here to hear that.
I'll just say I love his analogies, his, you know, just his dirty mind. I just can take anything you say and just is ready to go with it. You always have to walk on eggshells, but it's honestly just the fun part. Like he's probably been the reason where we've just died laughing. You know, like have laughing fits after certain segments or whatever, both on and off camera. So Shells is a great dude, great father. He's truly doing the best he can for his kids too. Like he's like, you know, we reached out to him. He's like, don't worry about me. Like, you know, I'm just hoping my kids are good and they're doing okay. So I hope him and everybody is you know, gets through this as best they can, because it's I'm kind of shocked at how many people this storm has hit. Mm-hmm. So thinking of everybody who's affected, you know, it's just a crazy time, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, I look up to literally all of you guys on this podcast. So you guys like feel like my older brothers in a way. And I've, you know, I love getting to watch, you know, Dangle, Jack, Shells, you know, you guys be dads, but I follow Shells on Instagram and he always is posting videos of his son who's, you know, seems like he's going to be a stud baseball player, but it's just seeing the passion that, you know, all of you guys have, but him especially, you know, for his kids. And it's just seeing the love that he has for his kids, the things that he sacrifices for his kids, and just, you know, how excited he gets over them again. again, it's another thing where it reminds me of, you know, my parents. I was lucky to be loved like that and supported. So Shells is a hell of a guy, hell of a father, and just an awesome person to look up to. So sending all the best to him and his family.
Shells, we love you, buddy, and we hope that your power gets back on soon and that you can come back next week and tell us how much you hate all of us, make some very inappropriate comment within the first 5 minutes of you being on the episode, because it wouldn't be that without you. For all of us here at the Bear Down Chicago podcast, we are so, so thankful. We know you can get your Bears content anywhere, but you've chosen to hang out with the Bear Down Chicago podcast. That does not get lost on us. It means a whole lot. Incremental growth. That is something that we have definitely noticed. We have a few more YouTube followers. We have a few more reviews, a few more Twitter followers, all those things. That means so very much to us that you've chosen to hang out with us. You can hit like, you can hit subscribe, you know, hit us with a 5-star review. All those things that can help out a small and growing podcast would mean the world to us. For all of us here, so that's Brendan Chagrou, Jack Wright, Logan Bradley, Patrick Sheldon, Cam Ellis. I am Ryan Dangle. Folks, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for hanging out with us. Wow, I got a little bit early there. Just sorry, early just a tad. Yeah, just yeah. Where's Shells when you need him, man? Where's Shells when you need him? For all of us here at the Bear Down Chicago podcast, thank you so very much. And as always, folks, Bear Down Chicago.